In these turbulent financial times, securing your investments with gold and silver needs to be done today, before the next crash. Go to republicmonetary.com for our free information kit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in again for Ernest Hancock on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show here on the RBN Network. We're sitting here. I am by myself here down in the BEA beautiful downtown Phoenix studios here, the Freedom's Phoenix studios. And I'm here talking to you today. I think Ernie wanted the day off because I think he's a little bit upset about the Yankees losing last night. Oh, wait a minute. That's me. Anyway, we are going to talk. We have a pretty interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking a lot about a wide cornucopia of things that are going on because there's so many things going on in the world right now. And there's so many different types of things that are sort of affecting our freedoms and our liberties. And there's a large, you know, amount of issues that are popping up that used to be years and years, you know, the amount of events that are happening in the course of a month or a week used to take years. So the New World Order's, you know, their agenda has been stepped up markedly. And so we're going to be talking today about Goldman Sachs, and McClatchy Newspapers has done sort of a series on Goldman Sachs and what they've exactly done. And Goldman Sachs is starting to get attacked more and more from different areas. I know we last time I helped with the show, we talked about Dylan Radigan talking about Goldman Sachs all the time. And we're going to talk about exactly what they're doing to us Americans and what their place is in this financial crisis that we're experiencing right now. And I can assure you that by the end of this today that I'm going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are no small part of this huge problem that we have facing us. I'm also going to be talking about the coming crisis. Again, when we're talking about this crisis that we're going through, we're not over it. You know, everybody's saying, oh, we're on the road to recovery. And you got another thing coming if you think that we're on the road to recovery. This is just the beginning of the worst depression that this country has ever endured. And that's just the way it is. And I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but that's just the way it is. And I'm also going to be talking about climate change. Al Gore is coming here to be the keynote speaker at the Green Build Expo, November 11th to 13th. And we're going to go have our fun with him and make a bunch of signs and protest him. And that sort of ties into the activism that we're doing. And I wanted to touch upon that so you can see what we're doing here down at Freedom's Phoenix Studios and the Freedom's Phoenix Workshop so you can do it on your own. You know, we're going to be doing activism with regards to the vaccines, which we've touched upon a lot. We're going to be camera fraud, which is an organization is trying to get down the speed cameras and the red light cameras around the country. Again, we're going to be talking about Al Gore. We're going to be talking, the campaign season is coming up. It seems like we just got over a campaign season, but every 2 years we have to elect new set of representatives. And I'd like to touch on that. And then we're also going to be talking about the DVDs that we're making. We're going to make another 30,000 coming up here soon. So when we come back in the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show, we're going to start talking about Goldman Sachs and how they're screwing us right in the hind end. So we'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. My name's Jet Lacy. I am sitting in for Ernest today, and we are going to be talking about Goldman Sachs and how they are screwing us over with regard to the subprime mortgage mess, how they do dirty dealings offshore, how they worked in concert with the various rating agencies, the bonds like Standard & Poor and Moody's, and how they're basically undercutting what is real free market. You know, everybody always blames the free market for our problems. And it's quite the opposite. We've actually never really had a true free market in this country because there's always been a myriad of government regulations that are going on with, you know, with different sorts of businesses. So, but Goldman has used the system to their advantage by buying off certain politicians. And in doing so, they have made themselves fabulously wealthy at our taxpayer expenses. And this is just, these are the types of things, again, every time I come on the show, I end up getting worked up because it's so blatant, nothing is being done about it, and we're left holding the bag every single time. So I'm really happy that the McClatchy News Service is starting to do this big expose on Goldman Sachs, and they're doing numerous stories. I'll post them up on Freedoms Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, with the links to all the articles that I'm talking about under the archive for the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show episode for today. So I want to get into this, how Goldman Sachs secretly bet on the U.S. housing crash. And we've talked about this now and again. I know I've done it when I've been with Ernie on the board, and we're talking about credit default swaps and collateralized debt obligations and how they're using these bets. They've turned the stock market basically into a large casino. And by doing this, they have made wild bets that they ended up losing. But because they've been deemed too big to fail, that they are being bailed out at our expense. It's like the biggest whales, they call them, the biggest bettors go to Vegas. And if they went and bet all their money and then all of a sudden they lost everything that they had, the casino will give them all the money back. So anyway, we're going to get into this house. Goldman secretly bet on the U.S. housing crash. In 2006 and 2007, Goldman Sachs sold more than $40 billion in securities backed by at least 200,000 risky home mortgages, but never told the buyers of these securities that it was secretly betting that a sharp drop in the U.S. housing prices would send the value of those securities plummeting. So this goes to what we were talking about when they make money on the way up because they sold them, and then they bet that they were going to, because they knew they were going to come down, they made money on the way down. The Goldman sales and its clandestine wagers enabled them to pass most of their potential losses to others before a flood of mortgage defaults basically ruined ours and the global economies. Only later did investors discover that Goldman had promoted is their AAA rated investments that were actually closer to junk. So now we have pension funds, insurance companies, labor unions, foreign financial institutions that bought these dicey mortgage securities. They're now facing large losses. And this is just astronomical. This is where all of your pension fund money is gone. All, you know, they were all these different pension funds and insurance companies were so heavily invested in these mortgage-backed securities that now they're worth largely nothing because they loaned the money out to a lot of people that didn't have the money to pay back. You know, they were just talking about, you know, you could just state what your income was and then you get the money. So, you know, the Securities and Exchange Commission should be very interested in finding any financial company that secretly decides a financial product is a loser and then goes out and effectively markets that product to unsuspecting customers without disclosing its true opinion. That is fraud. That is the very basis of what fraud is, and it should be prosecuted. A Goldman spokesman, Michael DuValle, said that the firm decided in December 2006 to reduce its mortgage risks, and they did so by selling off its subprime-related securities and making myriad insurance-like bets called credit default swaps to hedge against a housing downturn. But the fact of the matter is they had already sold their mortgage risks, and they still took out these bets against the housing downturn because they knew it was coming. It was a bubble that they had inflated. And this is just pure criminal nonsense. And it's just infuriating that nobody is doing anything about it. You know, the people around the world are just laughing at us Americans that we're so dumb and gullible. And we all know that we're getting screwed right in the keister. And nothing is being done about it. Nobody's doing anything about it other than going to these weak Tea Party protests that are actually achieving nothing. Until we get out with the torches and pitchforks, nothing's going to change. Getting back to this, DuValle also said that they Goldman Sachs had no obligation to disclose how it was managing its risk, nor would investors have expected us to do so. Other market participants had access to the same information we did. So they're saying that because of the rating agencies gave them a AAA rating, that they were acting above board and in an upright fashion. That's just not true. Altogether, McClatchy's inquiry found that Goldman Sachs bought and converted into high-yield bonds tens of thousands of mortgages from subprime lenders that became subjects of FBI investigations into whether they'd misled borrowers or exaggerated applicants' incomes to justify their hefty loans, done that hundreds of thousands of times. They used offshore tax havens to shuffle their mortgage-backed securities to institutions worldwide. Now, this is what is key, because the people that buy things worldwide, they don't have the same level of protections that we get in America. They don't have access to the same amount of information because there's international law involved, and what happens in one country isn't necessarily appropriate to prosecute in another. And then there's the divide between states. They have dispatched lawyers across the country to repossess homes from bankrupt or financially struggling individuals, many who lacked sufficient credit or income but got subprime mortgages anyway because Wall Street made it easy for them to qualify. They were also buoyed last fall, as we all know, by the federal bailouts, two of which involved then Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, a former Goldman chief executive whose staff at the Treasury included several other Goldman alumni. We're going to be talking about that, too, how they have a revolving door between Goldman to government and back. I mean, you have the likes of Robert Rubin, who joined in 1966 and was the co-chairman from 90 to 92 of Goldman Sachs. Then he was the assistant to the president for economic policy in 93 to 95 and the U.S. Treasury secretary in 95 to 99. We have Robert Zoellick, who's a U.S. Trade Representative, 2001-2005, Deputy Secretary of State, 2005-2006, went on to be Managing Director of Goldman Sachs, and now he's the head of the World Bank. Henry Paulson joined in 1974, was Chairman and CEO, and he resigned in 2006 to become U.S. Treasury Secretary, 2006-2009. the Neil Kashkari, the guy that was involved in the handling of the TARP funds. He was the vice president of the San Francisco office from 2002 to 2006 at Goldman Sachs. Mark Patterson was a lobbyist for Goldman Sachs 2003 to 2008. He's the chief of staff for the U.S. Treasury 2009 to present. We have Gary Gensler, who was a partner in 1988 to 1997. Now he's the chairman of the Community Futures Trading Commission, which is another whole topic for a whole nother day about what they're doing with these commodities. So what we have here is this... Goldman Sachs has entrenched themselves at all levels of the highest levels of our government. And they're using that. They've basically infiltrated our government, and they are using that information that they get to use it against us in order to make money at our expense. And that is the very antithesis of a free market. When we get back, we'll keep going into this, and we'll keep talking about it on the Declare Your Independence show. With me, Jet Lacy, sitting in for Ernest. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I know you're going to dig this.
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence show with me, Jet Lacy, sitting in for Ernest Hancock today. We're going back to talking about how Goldman Sachs is putting the boots to us in every single way possible. And what they have done is nothing short of fantastic. I mean, it's good work if you can get it, but I got to look at myself in the mirror every day. I couldn't do this. So we're talking about the decisions of Goldman Sachs. You know, and what has happened? You know, the firm, again, as we all know, the firm benefited when Henry Paulson, again, who we just talked about, there's a Treasury secretary, elected not to save Goldman's biggest rival, Lehman Brothers, from collapse. And then he organized a massive rescue of AIG while in constant telephone contact with Goldman chief Lloyd Blankfein. AIG later used $12.9 billion in taxpayer dollars to pay off every penny at old Goldman. $12.9 billion. That is why they gave AIG $180 billion, because they were able to use that as a conduit to save AIG with all of their derivatives that they had sold. It was a way for them to pay off all their friends without actually doing so, just handing them a check. So what they did was they gave it to AIG, and AIG, they never told anybody really where they put the money, but it was ended up getting found out by Bloomberg, I believe, that they had received, that Goldman Sachs had been paid in full. And the decision to do that preserved billions of dollars in value for Goldman's executives and shareholders. For example, Lloyd Blankfein held 1.6 million shares in the company in September of 2008, and he would have stood to loss more than $150 million personally if his firm had gone bankrupt. So, on top of that, with the help of more than $23 billion in direct and indirect federal aid, Goldman has emerged intact from the economic implosion, limiting its subprime losses to only $1.5 billion. And by repaying $10 billion in direct federal bailout money with a 23% taxpayer return that exceeded federal officials' demand, the firm has escaped tough federal limits on the 2009 bonuses to executives of firms that received bailout money. And in that bill, it was written that way anyway. They didn't. This is just goes to show you exactly what kind of situation we're in. Yes, they're going to limit pay on certain executives, and yes, they're going to be doing that, which I don't believe in to begin with. You know, that's, again, the antithesis of what a free market is. But the fact of the matter is they have sidestepped this, and they're making the rules up as they go along and as they see fit. And these big ones like J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley and all these with Goldman Sachs, they're not involved. They were exempted from the very beginning before the bill was even written. So I ask you, why? Why would they do that? Because they're bought and paid for. The government has been usurped by Wall Street. They are owned by Wall Street. The Congress lives in mortal fear of Wall Street because that is where all their campaign finance monies come from. They don't care about what you and I think. They care about what their real masters think, which are these large investment banks, which own everything, including the large corporations, including the military-industrial complex, including the media outlets, because whether they own them directly or not, none of them would be able to get funding to expand their operations if not for these big investment firm banks. And that's just the way it is. So when you look at the hierarchy of America and its power structure at this point, we really have the investment large banking houses at the top. You have the large corporations and the military-industrial complex. And then you have the government, which does their bidding, and their job is to make sure that they keep us in line, doing our work and paying our bills and paying their bills off with the sweat and blood off our back and brow. And that's why if we don't come out with the pitchforks and the torches, we're in a lot of trouble here, people. And it's going to happen quicker than later. It's going to happen sooner than later. And it's coming down now. There is a revolution going on in this country. It's going on right now, whether you want to believe it or not. Because, as Ernest always says, revolutions always begin in the mind. And I don't agree with the government. I don't really even acknowledge them. I do my best to try to ignore them at this point because I'm still able to. And someday there's going to be a time that comes along that we're not able to ignore them anymore. Getting back to the Goldman Sachs, this is how they've screwed us on just a few examples. Several pension funds, including Mississippi's Public Employees Retirement System, have filed suits alleging that Goldman and other Wall Street firms negligently made false and misleading representations of the bond's true risks. California's huge public employees retirement system, known as CalPERS, purchased $64.4 million in subprime mortgage-backed bonds from Goldman. CalPERS lists the bond's value at $16.6 million now, a drop of nearly 75%. When we get back, we're going to go into more of these shenanigans by Goldman Sachs here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Everybody's conscious now and it's great. Ain't nothing gonna stop us now, y'all, but the hate. And wait, hate can't stop us either. Cause knowledge reigns supreme, KRS the teacher.
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence show with Ernest Hancock. My name's Jet Lacey. I'm filling in for Ernest today. And we're talking about Goldman Sachs and how they're putting the boots to us in this subprime crisis. And, you know, there's so many ways that they do this to us. You know, they're doing it with the subprime. When they do it with the commodities, when oil was $147 a barrel, did you know that Goldman Sachs made $1 off of every single gallon of gas that was sold in America during that time? Because they artificially, you know, bought these oil reserves and put them in these, you know, offshore reserves. And it started rising the price and they inflated this bubble on the price of gas, on the price of crude oil. And boom, there they go. They're making a dollar off of every single one. So we're talking about Goldman and their subprimes right now, though, and their subprime mortgage. And in 2006... We have a cross-section of just one of their funds. And it was a group of 1,604 mortgages bought primarily from New Century, a subprime lender that has since filed for bankruptcy. And this is just one of the funds that they sold. So, and it goes by the borrower's credit score. So out of this 1,604 mortgages, for people with on the mortgage, the borrower's credit score of 720 and above, which is considered excellent, the number of loans was $7.6 million, or 46 loans. The borrower's credit score from 680 to 719, which is considered good, they sold, it was 120 loans worth $22.6 million. With a borrower's credit score of 620 to 679, which is average, they sold 515 loans worth $94.8 million. And with people's credit score, 500 to 619, which is considered risky, sold 923 worth $177 million. So we are talking about out of 1,604 mortgages packaged into this one collateralized debt obligation, 923 of them were risky. Doesn't seem like very good odds, right? And you get, they paid Moody's, which we'll go into a little bit later, one of the credit rating agencies. I mean, one of the bond rating agencies. They paid them to rate that a AAA. That doesn't really sound like AAA to me, does it? I mean, to you, does it? Doesn't to me. Anyway, I'm going to play this little video clip of, or audio clip of Goldman Sachs subprime from McClatchy. Then we'll talk about it when we get back. One moment, please.
When the housing bubble burst and millions of Americans defaulted on their subprime mortgages, few places were harder hit than the Southern California city of Moreno Valley. As many as half the residents of this neighborhood lost their $300,000 to $400,000 homes in foreclosures or in sales for less than their mortgage balances. It's no longer a secret that Wall Street made a big contribution to millions of loan defaults that crashed the U.S. and global economies. Big investment banks created a $2 trillion market for risky mortgages, converted them to high-yield bonds, and then sold them off for handsome fees. What's puzzled many, though, is how the blue-chip firm headquartered at 85 Broad Street in Manhattan, Goldman Sachs, got so involved in the market for risky loans. Goldman was far from the biggest player, but it sold more than $135 billion in bonds backed by risky mortgages. Goldman and other Wall Street firms contracted with risk analysts, including Californians Irma Anninger and Melissa Toy, to review thousands of subprime mortgage files. Anninger said she was stunned as she saw from loan applications how much credit standards had deteriorated from 2004 through 2006.
A gardener making $10,000 a month. A checker at Walmart making $5,000 a month. What else was there? Oh, they were ridiculous.
Anninger and Toy said they appealed to their superiors to reject shaky loans in which lenders had required no verification.
At times I didn't understand why we were even working because they were overriding our decisions. Or if we question anything, if we tried to decline a loan, they were going beyond us and approving them.
The whole thing didn't make any sense to me. That's why I said earlier, I didn't even know why I was there, because the stuff was going to get pushed through anyway.
Yet of all the Wall Street firms, Goldman was the only one that seemed to anticipate trouble ahead and safely exited the subprime market. A five-month McClatchy investigation found that in 2006 and 2007, Goldman sold more than $40 billion of the risky securities. At the same time, Goldman was secretly betting that the housing market would drop sharply and send the values of the securities it sold plummeting. Many of the buyers of Goldman's bonds, including pension funds, insurance companies, foreign banks, and other institutions, now face big losses. A spokesman for Goldman says it had no obligation to disclose its secret bets to its investors. But some securities experts say the Wall Street colossus may have violated federal disclosure laws. Greg Gordon for McClatchy Newspapers.
Pretty interesting, huh? They sold all of these packaged mortgage deals out. And then on the backside, they were placing heavy bets against those same mortgages to fail. So again, they were making money on the way up. They made a whole bunch of money selling these prepackaged collateralized debt obligations to all of the insurance companies and pension funds. And then knowing that they were a bunch of a big bag of crap, basically. I mean, I don't know how else to put them. They're just, you know, they knew what was going on. They were inflating this huge bubble and artificially raising the prices of housing by giving housing loans to whoever had a heartbeat. And then knowing that these people were not going to be able to pay these loans, they went back and made huge bets with AIG and other insurance companies doing what's called credit default swaps, which are derivatives, against the same things, crap that they had already sold. I mean, if that's not criminal in and of itself, I don't know what is. You know, we have the people of New Orleans who haven't, you know, their public employees retirement system. The Electrical Workers Union, the New Jersey's Carpenter Union are also suing Goldman Sachs and other Wall Street firms over their losses. I mean, Goldman wasn't the only one doing this. They're just the biggest one. They're the one that is just has fallen into, you know, a pile of you-know-what and come out smelling like a rose every single time. You know, and the full extent of the losses from Goldman's mortgage securities isn't known, but insurance companies collectively paid $2 billion for Goldman's risky high-yield bonds. Among the bigger buyers are Ambac Insurance, which purchased $923 million worth, Teachers Insurance and Annuities Association, $141.5 million, New York Life, $96 million, Prudential, $70 million, and Allstate, $40.5 million. So all these different entities and these pension funds that people were saving their money, their hard-earned money that they had worked their whole lives for, ended up they got sold a bill of goods that was a bag of crap, and now they're not worth anything. So all of their life savings and their life's work basically is now in the hands of Goldman Sachs, and they are going back to work and left to their own devices, you know. And then on top of this, Goldman Sachs has done this to in the market, which is international, and they've done it through the Cayman Islands largely, and they did this to foreign investors too, like I said, that don't have the same amount of information available to them that, you know, we do here. But the fact of the matter is Goldman also, there's a New York hedge fund manager, John Paulson, who actually told Congress in early 2006 that many of the subprime loans covered the home's entire value with no down payments, and so he figured the bonds would become worthless. So he, too, began placing the credit default swap bets against the housing market. And by doing this, he booked a $3.7 billion profit when the home price they tanked and subprime defaults soared in 2007-2008. And so what I'm saying is, again, Goldman Sachs wasn't the only ones doing this, but there's people that are on the inside that knew that this bubble was being inflated. And when you inflate a bubble, it always has to pop. You know, what goes up must come down. And that's the whole purpose of inflating these bubbles, and that's the whole purpose of having a fiat currency, which is not backed by any precious metal or something else like that of any real value, just printed paper, because they can print as much money as they want, give it out to as much money as they want, make a whole bunch of money on the way up. Then they start, you know, as they've turned the stock market into a casino, the prices, but you know, start to tumble. But then they've made all these side bets against the same stuff that they sold, and they make money on the way up and money on the way down. And who gets left with the shaft? Us, the taxpayers. We shouldn't. We should have let them just go under, and then they would have been, you know, their assets would have been redistributed, and we'd probably actually really be on the road to recovery at this point. So in early 2007, when the mortgage traders also bet heavily, the firm's mortgage traders also bet heavily against the housing market, on a year-old subprime index on a private London swap exchange, they paid off big, again, especially those with AIG. When Goldman Securities lost value in 2007 and 2008, the firm demanded $10 billion, of which AIG reluctantly posted $7.5 billion. So that was on top of the other money that they got, the $12.8 million from AIG. So as Goldman's others' collateral demands grew, AIG suffered enormous cash squeeze in September 2008, which we all know, leading to the taxpayer bailout to prevent worldwide losses. Goldman's payout from AIG included more than $8 billion to settle the swaps contracts. And the Goldman spokesman Duvalli said Goldman made other bets with hundreds of unidentified counterparties to insure its own subprime risks and take positions against the housing market for its clients. So what we have here is they're just stacking the deck in their favor because they are in and out of the government at its highest levels and the financial sector at its highest levels. And they got caught with the program that was able to front the market by nanoseconds. They're making billions of dollars a day on that. They inflate the commodities bubbles, which they're doing again with gas and all sorts of other things. Wait till you start seeing your food prices going up. Again, it'll be another reason you can thank Goldman Sachs for putting the socks to you. So we have this an act in place, the Securities Act of 1933, and imposes special disclosure burden on principal underwriters of securities, which was Goldman's role when it sold $39 billion of its own risky mortgage-backed securities. But they say that the requirement doesn't apply in this case. You know, it's nice to be able to say that and to be able to deny it if you so choose to, but that's not true. So what we're going to be getting into is how they also did it. They didn't do it just here. They did it worldwide. So we're talking about one instance here. You know, they had a secret $2 billion deal channeled through a Caribbean tax haven. In September 2006, this document offered U.S. and European investors an opportunity to buy into a pool of supposedly high-grade bonds backed by residential, commercial, and student loans. The transaction was registered through a shell company in the Cayman Islands. Because the Cayman Islands doesn't really tax any business issues or anything like that, they're pretty much hands-off, so they're able to use that as a haven, and they're still using it, even though the government is going after the little fish. They're saying that we're going after these people that have Swiss bank accounts and are having these tax haven accounts in Cayman Islands, but they're not going after the big boys, and that's true. So the Cayman offering occurred as Goldman began to ditch their subprime mortgage business before the U.S. housing market collapsed. In all, Goldman sold more than $57 billion in risky mortgage-backed securities during a 14-month period in 2006 and 2007, including nearly $39 billion issued from mortgages. Many of those, as we know, securities later soured, but the sales allowed Goldman to become the only major U.S. investment bank to escape the brunt of the subprime meltdown. Again, they fall into a pile of you-know-what? Come out smelling like a rose. Why? Because they're creating these problems. One bond analyst who reviewed the 2006 Cayman deal, he said it was a not so cleverly disguised way for Goldman Sachs to unload its unwanted exposures to the subprime real estate market onto foreign investors. Of course, the Goldman spokesman, Mike Duvalli, said that they sold it only to sophisticated investors and disclosed all the appropriate information available. Well, when you're wrapping things up and paying off the bond rating agencies for a bag of crap to get a AAA rating, that's not really an informing investor all they need to know. McClatchy, they found at least two instances in which Goldman appeared to mislead investors. The firm said that $65.3 million in securities were backed by safe prime mortgages when the same loans have been labeled a cut below prime in a U.S. offering. When we get back, we're going to go back into this, how they were putting the boots to international investors as well, here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show with me, Jet Lacy, sitting in. We're having a good time. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. My name's Jet Lacy. I'm sitting in for Ernest while he rests up. He's doing two shows a day now, and, you know, we got all this activism stuff going on, so I'm just filling in now and again just to give him a break. And I also wanted to let you know here that I do welcome all callers on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show when I sit in. Please call in at 1-800-313-9443. I'd love to hear from you. We don't have to talk about this subject that I'm talking about, even though I think it should be of interest to all of you out there. But I'm more than willing to talk to you. I like to engage people, have conversations about things that are going on and what people are doing as far as their own situation and how they're doing. I like to understand where people are coming from. So if you want to call in, please do at 1-800-313-9443. Getting back to Goldman Sachs again, they said that 65.3 million in securities were backed by safe prime mortgages when the same loans had been labeled a cut below in a U.S. offering. They listed 10 million as mid-prime loans when the underlying mortgages had been made to subprime borrowers with shaky finances. Spokesman DeValley said that descriptions were consistent with the standards set by Moody's, a bond rating agency. Well, we're going to be talking about Moody's here and how they basically sold us down the river as well. Experts estimate that Wall Street investment banks sold 25% to 50% of these bonds and related securities overseas, resulting in massive losses in Europe and elsewhere where the markets collapsed. Last spring, the IMF projected that global write-downs on U.S.-originated assets stemming from the subprime disaster could reach $2.7 trillion. You got to understand, these guys have already been paid for that. These banks that packaged up these mortgages have already been paid, and the people that were left with them are the ones left holding the bag. So, you know, the Treasury Department report found that as of June 30th, 2008, $164 billion in U.S. mortgage-backed securities were held in the Cayman Islands, and $22 billion more were held in Luxembourg, another tax-friendly zone. Gary Koff, a securitization expert who analyzed the unpublished industry data, said that Goldman packaged or marketed offshore deals worth at least $83 billion from 2002 to 2008. These deals, again called collateralized debt obligations, amounted to $1.3 trillion global market, and Goldman reaped as much as $1.66 billion assembling and selling them. Some of Goldman's subprime mortgage securities wound up in the hands of financially struggling European governments, such as Romania, Bulgaria, Slovakia, and Slovenia. You know? A Wall Street expert involved in trading those types of securities, who declined to be identified, said that one Slovakian bank's multi-million-dollar investment wound up actually worthless. And that's just crazy. That's getting duped. But again, they don't have the same amount of information that we have available to us. Subprime-backed mortgage securities that were sold at the crest of the housing market 2006-2007 have shown the most precipitous drop in value, of course, because the housing market values were highest then, with the default rates on the underlying mortgages exceeding 30%. It's unprecedented, 30% default on mortgages. It's just absolutely crazy. And all throughout this, Goldman's traders also made huge bets that those securities would lose value by buying insurance-like contracts that we talked about, called credit default swaps. So when we get back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show after a short break, we're going to keep talking about this, and we're going to talk about it until we're done talking about it and you understand. Please give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. When we come back, we're going to tear it up some more. We'll be right back.